was like 8 minutes ago, and I'm like, this is too creepy. This is too creepy. All of this.
Yeah, I feel like if it's a new person, that makes sense. But if it's someone you're already connected with, I don't know why it gives you an alert.
Yeah, no. Where'd you get the Pulaski County pin?
Oh, I've had this.
Oh.
Actually, I didn't get it from the election commission, though. I got it from, I'm on the board of Pulaski County Youth Services.
What board are you not on, sir?
That's a good question. I like to have my fingers in many pies. I have a lot of interests, so, you know. You can't have a job in everything, but you can be on a board for almost everything, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the governor, every day I hear about a new task force. I heard about a new one today, so.
Yep.
There's probably an option there, too.
I think I'm good.
No? Okay.
I've got plenty going on. But, of course, if I were asked, I would be honored to accept, but.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Did we text the link to Christy?
I emailed it to her.
Did you email it? Which email did you use?
Both of them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, on all of you all, I sent it to both just in case you were whichever one you were monitoring.
Yeah, especially with working remotely, that's a good idea.
Okay. Just as a little friendly FYI, the recording has now started.
We have not officially started yet, but we are being recorded. Okay.
Well, he's recording stuff right now. He has not put it on. He hasn't started the meeting on YouTube yet, I don't believe. Okay. Let me see. I have that pulled up as well so that I can kind of keep an eye on it.
Someone watching America's Got Talent?
I am.
I heard it.
Yeah, yeah, that's me.
That's fine.
Hey, I'm not against it. But yeah, just heads up, anyone on this recording can hear that. So.
I just turned it down because I've got my headphones in, so it's the only way I can hear in the meeting.
Uh-huh.
Because the volume, my laptop speaker won't play very loudly, so I use my headphones to be able to hear, and I kind of tune out the television after a while anyway.
Oh. I hate to work in complete silence. It drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Commissioner Price, you may notice there's no video. It's because technology, and there will be no video tonight.
Oh, no.
It's fine. I've got an old laptop, and it's like, no, it's on strike. So I'm glad that the Zoom is functioning, semi-functioning. So.
Well, audio will work. I think this will probably be a fairly cut and dry meeting.
Oh, yeah. Although I just want to know what's the over under of having a runoff. I've been watching it. I've been watching stuff as our early votes up in there. Just wondering. Bryce, you remember the special election in Little Rock, the most recent one that had the really low turnout? Do you happen to remember what that percentage was? Around 4%? Or was it less than that?
It was 4%. It was 4.2%.
Because the early vote, it's 3.88.
Okay.
So I'm like, during a pandemic.
During a pandemic. Yep.
Compared to our last turnout for a special election, I'm like, eh, that might not be as, you know, as terrible. I mean, it's not great, but.
Right.
It's on par. I thought that was interesting.
Well, from what I've seen and heard, it seems like the staff has taken every possible step they could to mm-hmm. ensure that the elections are as safe as possible. So I guess folks feel comfortable.
Good. Yeah, I agree with that. I haven't heard any complaints. I guess we'll find out tonight if there are any, but I so far haven't heard any.
Agreed.
Well, the only person that called the office to complain was someone that wanted to vote in the Jacksonville election, but they didn't live in Jacksonville.
Well, that's not a problem.
Okay, there's Brian.
Okay.
Commissioner Gomez, I know you can't see me, correct?
I can see you.
Oh, you can. Look, I changed my background.
You changed your background.
I put an American flag just for
yes.
you.
Yes. Oh, good. Thank you. I was wondering if we needed this one to put a picture. You're awesome.
I was trying good. To find something that looked, you know, like a room where we would meet. That
it looks like almost like a quorum court kind of a setup.
That is the quorum court.
I don't know what
is quorum. Is it our quorum court, though?
No, I don't think so.
No. Something it's not ours.
I was just trying to find I literally Googled conference room with American flag.
And this Perfect. Well, I see Brian.
Howdy.
You get a haircut recently there, Brian?
It's summer. It's time.
Yeah, it took a little off the top, huh?
I spent most of my adult life bald, so it's not a big deal.
We're going to wait a couple minutes. We are 8:30. I'm going to wait just a couple minutes for Commissioner McKinnon Starr. Let her. In the era of the Zoom meetings, I think everything starts a few minutes late now, so everyone can dial in.
Are we live, Betty?
Not yet. Jody's going to. When you gavel in, just before you gavel in, I'm going to let Jody know and he'll take it live.
Text Christy she just sent question marks. Go ahead and text her the meeting.
I'll see if I can't do it real quick. You gotta love technology.
Of course. Yeah, because I don't even have her in my phone.
I got it. Send it.
Good.
It beat me by half a second.
Well, you know, I live on my phone, so.
Yeah. Should I also send this like YouTube just did? So she gets
absolutely. I mean, the more the merrier, right?
Okay. We'll wait a couple minutes. Commissioner McKinnon Starr is logging in right now.
Betty, did you get a chance to email them this stuff, like the one commission or the one regular absentee?
Sean sent it out.
Okay. Just to make sure they got it.
Good.
Oh. Let me send Jody a message. Okay, we are live now.
Okay, we're gonna wait. There we go. Everyone's present. Okay. I don't have a gap. I will call this meeting to order. We have a quorum. All commissioners are present. And so we will start with a pledge of allegiance. And Commissioner Price, since you have so graciously offered a flag for us, if you wouldn't mind leading us in that, we'd appreciate it.
Of course. I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right, our first item of business is approval of previous minutes. Have all the commissioners had an opportunity to review those? Any questions, comments, deletions, or insertions? McKinnon Starr, you are muted. Feel free to unmute if you'd like to say something.
I had nothing to say right now. Thank
okay.
you.
Just double check it. Okay. You get a motion? There's no discussion on the minutes?
There isn't, but I don't have any kind of package in my email with any of the information for tonight's meeting.
Well,
I can send that to you right now.
Let's go ahead and resend that to everyone, just to make sure we have everything in our most updated.
Okay. It must be going to the vote, Pulaski, which I cannot use right now.
Well, I would like to move to accept the minutes from the May 20th, 2020 meeting.
A second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Since a canvas of absentee ballots, Commissioner McKinnon Starr will need that information as for us to do that. We can't go do that right now. And if we're not doing that, we're not going to certify the unofficial results. So let's jump down to... I'm just going to go out of order a little bit. I have a new agenda item. Just one thing, Brian, I'm going to ask you to do.
Okay.
I was on Pulaski County's website, and I noticed there's a calendar of events. Can we get our election commission meetings posted on the Pulaski County calendar?
Yes, we can.
Let's do that. If we can do it, let's do it. I mean, I know we posted on our site, on our web, which we obviously need to keep that going as well. But if we could also get stuff on the Pulaski County calendar, that may get a broader section of residents and so more of the folks that live here in our great county can be involved and know what's going on.
Yeah, I think Cosetta controls that, so I'll talk to her about getting our meetings added.
Fabulous. All right. And if you would like that in an official vote, we as commissioners, we can all vote on that.
Okay. If you excuse me, I just need to get Sean to resend the absentee thing.
Sure. Okay.
Can you resend the absentee stuff to Christy? Okay, could you just send it to me and I'll send it to her? Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, well, we're waiting on that. Okay, so the Pulaski County calendar. The other thing I wanted to kind of let everyone know about, the State Board of Election Commissioners, I assume, did everyone receive an email about absentee ballot rules, commissioners?
Yeah.
I assume you got that same email I did.
Not receive the email. Like I said, I cannot access my Vote Pulaski. So I'm not receiving any emails on BoatQuest.
Okay. Well, I will forward you the email that I got from the state board. And I believe their meeting is tomorrow, and they're looking at addressing some
absentee rules.
Absentee ballot, having some rules and some guidance. I'm just going to give you a heads up. I had a conversation with Daniel today. One of the concerns I had was if we're going to make changes to a absentee ballots, if there's a 30-day comment period, and if it gets adopted. So if it gets adopted tomorrow at the meeting, there's a 30-day comment period. It's going to go out to at least July 10th about. That only leaves approximately 45 days before county clerks need to have absentee ballots out because they have a early September deadline. And so my concern was if there's going to be a change, that's not a lot of time. It could be an undue burden on the clerks. And Daniel assured me that it's not mandatory for 2020. It's just some guidance that can be implemented that doesn't need to immediately be implemented before the November election. And so that was just one concern that I initially had this one kind of was concerned about. I don't want the clerks to have to, you know, make a new form, but I did talk to Daniel over at the state board today and kind of verified the time frame on that. So heads up with that. And Commissioner McKinnon Starr, I will forward you the email that I got from the state board so you have a copy of it so you're aware.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to put that. So now, let's see, I'm making a note for myself. And after this meeting, I will do that. I'll send that to you so you can have that. And indeed, I can go ahead and forward the email and reply I got from Daniel to everyone as well, so you can all be you can see what my comment was. There was an additional comment from I spoke with one of our constituents here in Pulaski, and Uecava voters. There was a terminology that was used for military voters, and it was asking to possibly change one of the terms, make it more broader so it actually fits all the military and overseas voters. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and send all that to you in the correspondence that I had so everyone's on the same page. So I'll go ahead and just forward that to Brian. I'll forward it to you, and then you can go ahead and disseminate it as necessary.
Okay.
The other thing is the CARES Act survey. And Christy, you may not have got, did you get an email about the CARES Act survey?
I did not.
Okay, we'll get this sent to you as well. And every county is supposed to reply to it. And this went to the commissioners, the election commissioners, the clerk, and I guess they were talking about it at the clerk's meeting recently, as well as county judges. And the email that we received, I think it was from the state board who sent it to us, said it should be one survey completed per county. Mm-hmm. So yeah. If it's going to us, the county clerk and the county judge, we need to coordinate one reply to that survey.
Yes. The clerk's office has sent it in.
Without discussing it with us?
Like they called us over and just asked us some questions and stuff, and we provided them information. And then they provided that. I can forward you their response.
Yes, Brian, we got to be involved in this stuff. When was this?
It was before the deadline on the 27th, I believe.
So is there a reason why you didn't send it to us when you got that information so the commissioners can be involved in the process?
The clerk's office took care of it.
Uh-huh. Brian, this is something the commission needs to know about. Please forward all correspondence about the CARES Act to all the commissioners, please.
Okay.
It's not cool that you have not done it up until this point. This is something the commissioners need to know about so we can do our job.
Brian, when did that email initially go out? Do you recall?
I don't remember. I've been mainly, most of my attention has been focused on equipment right. and on this election. So it's been sometime in May.
Okay, because I was trying to find it in my email as well, and I can't seem to.
Well, like I didn't get the email. Like they called me over to ask about it.
The director.
Like it was apparently sent to the judge and the clerks and the clerk and the commissioners. So, I didn't get it.
And that was from the Secretary of State's office.
I believe so. Yes.
And they sent directly to the county judge and the county clerk, but not the election commission.
I thought it got sent to y'all too. So I'm not 100% sure.
And there was a deadline of what day?
The 29th of May.
Okay.
And Price, did you get an email? Did you know about it?
I believe I did, but I'm not able to find it.
Okay.
But I do, I'm searching my inbox now. That's why I was asking Brian if he knew what date it was sent out.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what date it was because I just kind of heard about it secondhand.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Director Poe, who sent the email from the Secretary of State's office?
I don't know. I would assume maybe our election board. Like this last round, it was our election coordinator who sent it. But, you know, like by the time we received that, it had already been submitted.
Right. Yeah. We definitely need to follow back up with whomever submitted that and make sure that they provide that information in advance to all parties involved.
Okay. I'll contact them tomorrow.
Thank you.
Commissioner Gomez, did you receive that in your email?
I have the email I sent. What the email I got was from, well, I have what Brian just forwarded us, and apparently Brian received it. He got a copy from Terry Hollingsworth for the completed survey. He was copied on that on May 27th, which was what, 2 weeks ago?
Yes. So the now that I'm looking at it, the email I received, the only email I received about the CARES Act was on June 3rd. So that would have been after the deadline, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, after the time Brian Poe was copied on the information, and it was not, and that was not provided to the commissioners. Okay. Well. Okay. We may continue to talk about this at a later time once we've been able to actually look at it.
I would like to hear what the response was.
I forwarded you all the response. It's in the clerk's email, or you know, the clerk's email that I forwarded to you.
That's public information?
Hmm?
Is that public information?
The response?
Yes.
I would think so.
Did you provide a summation of the response?
I sent it to you.
In the response.
I'm sorry, what?
Could you tell us what's in the response?
I just sent it to y'all.
About something and not being transparent right now, and I don't think that's appropriate.
Like, what do you mean?
This is a public meeting. We're discussing something. We're not being transparent about what the response is or what we're doing.
Okay. Well, I sent you the response. You want me to talk about it?
We're not being transparent to the public by not discussing what we're actually talking about.
Okay. So the response is basically, they just ask how many polling sites we have, how many poll workers we're going to use, number of early voting sites, if we anticipate any changes in that, absentee ballot requests in 2016, there were roughly 8,000, about 5,000, 4,300 were counted. Let's see, the sixth question is about PPE, hand sanitizer, mask, gloves, disinfectants. Like we answered that, you know, we have some supplies, but, you know, but if the secretary would help out, that would be great. And the seventh one is please rank order your current top five priorities for funding based on anticipated budgetary needs. The first priority is absentee ballot costs. The second one is communication of voters. The third one is supplemental staff time for processing additional absentees. The fourth one is drop boxes for absentees. And the fifth one is additional voting equipment.
And we had we provided no information to the clerk's office or the judge's office on this, because this information, I don't know how they would have gathered it without discussing it with either you, the staff, or us.
No, we met with them and provided them information.
You did meet with them, provide the information.
Yes. They asked us for the information. We went in, John and I went and sat down and we talked about it. And after a discussion, they determined and we agree that these are the priorities.
You agreed on behalf and made a decision based on the election commission.
They didn't ask for
the commission, who works for the commission, made an agreement with the clerk's office on behalf of the commission without authority to do so. Is that what you're telling us?
No, I'm saying that we provided them with information and that we talked over what we thought that would be the case and that I agree with these priorities. But ultimately, it was the clerk that submitted it, and it was the Secretary of State had requested that the clerk submit it.
So, Director Poe, I'm reading this, thank you for sending this. Dear County Election Commissioners, clerks, and judges. So we definitely need to be involved in this process. And I think in the future, anytime that we are tasked with something that the actual commission needs to be, you know, putting our heads together on these items, because there are things on here like, do you plan on having more early voting sites? Are we planning on adding poll workers? So those are the decisions that would come from the commission. And I just think that we need to be informed and make sure that we're also contributing to that, to anything when it's coming to asking for our specific. If you look at that, it does put county election commissioners on that header. Commissioner Price, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I wish Jason Kennedy was in the meeting as he normally is. But to me, this seems like an unfortunate kind of a breakdown in information. And I'm sure, you know, the current situation with the pandemic has a lot to do with that. But I do agree. I mean, obviously, it says, dear county election commissioners, clerks, and judges. But then it goes on to say, during the past few weeks, the Secretary of State has contacted county clerks via phone regarding the federal grant. But absolutely, it would have been nice to be part of this conversation. And I do understand that I did not receive this email. I didn't get any correspondence until June 3rd, which was after the due date, but I think this is something that warrants a conversation with the clerk's office. Just make sure that we're all on the same page and that we have an open flow of communication between our offices.
And I say that, Director Poe, is not, you know, I'm not trying to micromanage you over here, but if you look what happened in Georgia today, we don't want to be a Georgia. And at the end of the day, it comes back to the county election commissioners. So I want to make sure that we know everything in advance so that in November, if there is something that does occur, because one, we didn't have funding, two, we didn't have the appropriate equipment or, you know, preventatives for if we're still in a coronavirus epidemic, our pandemic. So I just want to make sure that we are prepared, because at the end of the day, it comes back down to the county commissioners, and we are responsible. So I don't want any kind of repeat that's occurring in Georgia right now.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I do apologize for that, and I will make sure that you, anything that I hear on this topic, that you also hear.
Thank you, Brian.
Absolutely. We and it's okay to double to send us things twice.
Okay.
If there's something that you think we know about, just copy us on it. Any correspondence you have with outside of the Election Commission staff, if you're emailing someone from another agency, copy the commissioners on it so we know what's going on. I know we've talked about this before, so it shouldn't be new concept, but starting now, you need to keep the commissioners in the loop. The buck stops with us, and we need to be involved. Don't be the reason we're not involved, Mr. Poe.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wanted to add, I mean, I'm looking at these priorities, and I don't disagree with these priorities, because just from reading the different things that's happened in other states, obviously absentee ballots, you know, like, for example, in Wisconsin, they received, I think, 5 times as many absentee ballots as what they expected. So it's not that I disagree with any of these things, but again, just having an open line of communication to make sure that we're all in the loop. You know, the media may have easily asked Commissioner Gomez or Commissioner McKinnon Starr, myself, something. And if we're not in the loop, then we don't know how to answer them appropriately. So I think, again, just moving forward, make sure that we are CC'd on all these materials, that go any kind of correspondence that takes place between the clerk's office or yourself regarding voting equipment or absentee ballots or polls or poll workers. Just CC us to make sure we have it.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, back to the beginning of our agenda. Commissioner McKinnon Starr, the absentee ballot, just a single ballot, is that correct?
Yes, it's just a single ballot. And basically, from talking to Sean, because I actually haven't had a chance to look at it myself, but it's got back to the office. Essentially, the issue is that on the voter statement, the voter uses two different names.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Carter and Price, or Prince.
Yeah, Carter and Prince. And she's registered, or, you know, she received the ballot as Shirley Joanne Prince. But all the other information seems to match up. So, Sean did not feel comfortable counting it without y'all's input. And I don't disagree with that. It is kind of a strange situation that she would sign two different names. Mm-hmm. See, her ID also says Prince. I think y'all got a copy of it, but it's not a great copy.
Sean sent, I asked him to resend the picture, and he sent a better copy of that. So Brian, you can.
Okay.
I don't have a copy. All I received was the agenda.
Let's see. I think I sent one to you.
I just have the agenda and the minutes.
Where did that go?
Hopefully not to anybody else.
Let's see. I sent the driver's license to your Gmail. Although I do need to send you this other stuff.
Okay.
I can find it.
Okay. So while you're looking for that, let's go back and talk about what have we had done, we've done in the past, because consistency is key and it's going to be key going forward as well, especially as influx comes in later this year. So what have we done in the past, Commissioner Price?
I'm sorry.
What have we done in the past?
Well, normally it seems to me that the clerk's office would provide guidance on whether this is this a maiden name, is it a married name?
Where is the clerk's office?
Did they not provide any information regarding this voter in question, Brian?
Let's see.
They verify that Carter is her maiden name or married name or whatnot.
I can have, let me see if I can't get a hold of Jason.
I guess my question is when we've handled mismatch information on those two pieces of documentation, what have we done in the past?
This is kind of, this is very unusual in that usually the mismatch is on two different documents. So, you know, you'll have one name on the voter statement and the other name on the absentee application. But you don't have two different names on, you know, the same document.
There's two different names on the same document.
Yes, it's two different names on the same.
There's not a mismatch on one statement to the application.
Well, she basically, what she did is on the voter statement, she signed, you know, the regular affirmation, and then she signed she filled out the normal affirmation with the name Carter, and then she signed the optional verification with the name Prince.
Right.
And so I think that should be going through to you now. It'll be a couple of PDF documents that you should receive.
So is it possible that she got married, has her voter registration under her old name, she just changed her driver's license to the new name, so therefore she put two different names?
I think that's a likely explanation. That's kind of what I thought when I was first told about it.
It would be nice to have that verified by the clerk's office.
It would. And ideally, when you go to the DMV, they're supposed to update that information. But I know for a fact that doesn't occur all the time, unfortunately.
Just from experience.
yeah. And actually, Zach had the same issue recently. So had to do it twice. So yeah, I do know in the past we referred to looking at the two different application and the voter statement. If there was a mismatch on those two documents, then that was not counted. But as long as they match somewhere in those two documents, then we did count them. So it's just kind of where my head is.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And you know, if you read the law, the code section in 75416, if a county board of election commissioners determines that the application and the voter statement, so those two separate documents, not internally within the document, those two separate documents do not compare as to name, address, date of birth, and signature, the absentee ballot shall not be counted. But here we have Prince on the application,
mm-hmm.
and we have Prince and also Carter on the statement.
Right.
Yeah, I see no reason not to count it.
And if you look at how her name, Shirley, how it's signed, it's very distinct. And appears to be exactly the same hand.
Well, you know, when we had the issue of the overseas ballot that had two different addresses where they had put their overseas address as well as their home address, the address did technically match what was on the application, we ended up counting it. So if we want to follow that same precedent, and
I think we should follow that same precedent. Not only follow that same precedent, I do think we need to make sure that we start kind of recording how we have previously applied the law, because mm-hmm. if we do have an incredible influx of absentee ballots in November, my greatest worry with an incredible influx is disenfranchisement of voters because of the fact of mismatched signatures, incorrect application addresses, putting the date wrong or the birth date wrong. And those are things that are out of our control. But I do want to make sure that on these, where we try to, we always try to lean towards the voter, that we record how, what we decided and why based on the law. So
right,
going forward.
At least we can be consistent within the three of us and our rulings and our judgments.
Absolutely.
100% agree.
Brian, could you start keeping a list of that? I believe there's very few items, and if there's anything the commissioners can think of, I'm sure we can send those to you.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, we can go back through the minutes from the past year and wherever from the elections, wherever we have this canvas of absentee ballots, and just kind of see where the commission has landed on these questions, and anything I'll list of that.
Sounds good, Commissioner McKinnon Starr. Thank you for suggesting that, because consistency and following the law and is best practices.
Okay, so.
Do we need a motion? Let's get to count. Yes,
right,
to count.
Do you have anything to add?
Sir?
Did you have anything to add?
Oh, I was just going to see if I needed to count this.
Oh.
I would think so. We'll go ahead and make it official to get a motion.
Okay.
Or any further discussion, I guess, before we move on to that to a motion.
No, I move to accept the lone absentee ballot in the June 9th, 2020 Jacksonville special election.
I second that.
All right. Aye.
Aye.
All right. It shall be counted. So once that's done, let's get those unofficial results. And since Mr. Poe is at the commission office, he said he was going to be at the polling location, I assume that means all the results are in.
Yes, they are. Look, we just need to add in that one absentee ballot, and we'll have some solid unofficial results.
Excellent.
Like that, basically all the results minus that one ballot should be posted. And just so y'all know, there were no provisional ballots for this election.
Okay.
Great.
First.
So it's posted. It's posted already.
Yes. Like.
I've got early vote, absentee. Do I need a refresh, maybe?
Yeah, I see it.
Oh, that's really close. Definitely going to be a runoff.
Yes.
Oh, it got even closer after today's percentages. Well, okay.
And there was an undervote in this election?
I don't.
Okay.
I know. I saw that too. Hey, 6% turnout.
Yeah,
Jacksonville did better than a Little Rock did.
It's pretty good.
And it was during a pandemic.
That's about on par, though, for specials between 4 to 6.5, 7%.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, with all the COVID issues, we still had the same turnout.
But I will say turnout, if it was November, would be closer to 65%. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, definitely.
Just a thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard, received, thought received. Okay, well, who wants to read the unofficial results?
Well, we're gonna add in that last ballot and then.
Oh, it's not added yet.
Okay. No, not yet.
It'll be reposted here in just a minute.
Okay.
Well, I would like to, while we're waiting on that, I would like to say for the record, I've had several voters from Jacksonville reach out to me and say that the entire process was very smooth. It was streamlined. It was sanitary. They felt very safe. So I just want to commend Brian and the staff for making the special election work in the midst of a global pandemic. So thank you for all your efforts, the masks, the pens, the pencils, everything that you handed out. Voters seem to be very, very comfortable with the process. And of course, this is just anecdotal. This is just the folks that reached out to me personally, but I just wanted to make sure I thanked, or we all thanked Brian and the rest of the staff for your efforts.
Absolutely.
100%. I co-sign that.
Thank you. And if I may, I want to not only thank the staff, I want to thank the staff. They did a fantastic job considering the significant limitations we're operating under with the whole pandemic. But in addition to that, I want to thank the workers at the poll. They did an outstanding job. They did things. I mean, they did it by the book, and you know, we were there to help them. But they did. You know, the way that they handled the voters, the way that they you know, they performed their jobs it was very professional, and it's something that I was very glad to be able to see. Like, I actually spent 2 days of early voting and election day up in Jacksonville. So I got to see it firsthand. And, you know, I'm just thankful that we have such dedicated folks who are willing to do such a great job for so little pay.
We are very.
In addition to that, I also wanted to thank the voters of Jacksonville. Like, they surprised me in that, you know, just the number of people coming in who were already wearing masks, or if they didn't have a mask, who agreed to wear masks and, you know, and to go into sanitize their hands, you know, practice safe social distancing. Like, I was just very impressed, because it's absolutely unlike anything that I've witnessed in, like, say, a Walmart or, you know, or in a grocery store or a convenience store. Like, these folks who came out to vote, they show that they had concern for others. And I just wanted to say that, you know, to somebody, that I appreciate that, even though the chances are, you know, it won't make it back to them. But I was just rather surprised.
Post that on social media, Brian. We have a Twitter. We can post those things.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's do that. Agreed. Let's also thank the Jacksonville mayor. I believe he was very helpful in this process.
Yeah, he absolutely was. Mayor Johnson was able to get us, you know, basically half the community center that we were able to use, so that we were able to keep, you know, good social distancing, even if we did have several voters, you know, at any given time.
We should publicly thank him as well on all of our social media platforms. And
anything positive we can put out there right now is nice, because there's so much negativity.
I agree. And there's a lot of worry and concern, you know, about what's going to happen in November. So to have this as a trial run, here during kind of the thick of the pandemic, and for everything to go smoothly and there to not be really any issues, and for everyone to be working together to keep everyone safe, I think that's definitely a message that we should put out there to reassure the voters during this time.
100%. And, you know, Commissioner Price, you said you just had some anecdotal experiences, but if you wouldn't mind penning down at least one or two of those that were given to you, sure. So we can kind of push that with, here's a real experience. Here's what it was like. Here's where you can be. Here's what we can promise people of Pulaski County. I know you are one of our social media gurus that knows how that stuff works.
Absolutely.
I think that would be very helpful in the next, especially, you know, as we have our unofficial results, and as the next few days go on where we certify official results, that's, I think, plenty of content to be pushed out and information to the public and some talking points to give some light of hope in this troubled times. Okay. Do we have our final vote in there, Mr. Pope?
Let's take a look, see.
I believe it changed for me, but.
Yes, I believe it did change.
Okay. Yes, it did.
So if you would like, I could read it out.
That sounds good.
That would be good.
Go ahead. Yep. Go ahead, Mr. Cook.
So in the for the unofficial results for the Jacksonville special election, which was conducted on June 9th, 2020, for Jacksonville Council Member Ward 1, Position 1, Pat Thomas received 186 votes. Jeff Elmore received 370 votes. And Michael Dietz received 382 votes. With no candidate receiving either a majority or a 20% margin while achieving at least 40% of the vote, this will necessitate a runoff to occur on July 7th, 2020.
Say that date again, I'm sorry.
July 7th, 2020.
Okay.
I move to approve the unofficial results of the June 9th, 2020 Jacksonville special election.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We have certified. We have our unofficial results. And since we skipped around in the business, I believe that concludes our scheduled business for today. Brian, you may use our stamps, obviously. You still have permission to use those on our behalf.
Yes, ma'am. And I will also be sure to stamp your time sheet as well.
Yes. Well, that'd be great. You can do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good of the commission before we adjourn?
Well, I guess I'm curious about, do we need to establish any additional meetings or within our meetings concerning the runoff?
We will, I'll have to review the paperwork, but we will have to meet again. Well, first of all, I would point out that there are no provisional ballots. So the commission, either at the scheduled meeting on Thursday, June 11th, or at the scheduled meeting on Friday, June 19th, the commission could just go ahead and certify the election outright. So that's one thing that I would point out.
Do we need to have a meeting on June 11th at all?
No, not if you don't want to.
Let me roll back. Can we have a meeting June 11th and not June 19th?
You can, but I would recommend that we keep the June 19th meeting because that'll give us a chance to lay the groundwork for the runoff. Basically, we're going to have to do a new notice of election and certify new ballot styles for the runoff.
Okay, so we don't need the June 11th.
Then let's not waste taxpayer money and let's not have a meeting on June 11th if it's not necessary.
Agreed.
Unless there's other business we need to discuss.
Is there any business, Brian, that's pressing?
Whenever y'all want to do it. But I've submitted those plans and the revisions for the COVID-19 mitigation and the absentee for November. Mm-hmm. But if you want more time to review it, then, we could easily take that up on the 19th.
I would like to have more time personally to review it, just to make sure that I have a thorough, a grasp of everything that's included in there. And Commissioner McKinnon Starr, thank you so much for your feedback.
Really, thanks for chopping it up. Not too much red line in there. No. It was excellent. It was an excellent start, and I do appreciate the staff getting ahead of that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I also wanted to let you all know that I'm working on a vote center plan right now, but it's not quite ready for you. We're still in the drafting stage. But I plan to have that to you as soon as possible. Prior to that June 19th meeting. But we're still kind of chewing over some details and trying to get some things nailed down. Specifically, we're going to do a resurvey of all of our polling locations for the data connection And then once we get that nailed down and we're sure that all of our current polling locations are good, then I will try. Then I will go ahead and get you that plan.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Good to hear. It's good news for the people of Pulaski County. Easier it is to vote, it's better it is for the people. Okay, anything else? For anyone. Okay, yeah. Well, then at this time we will be adjourned. We will not be meeting on June 11th like we had previously thought we would, but our next meeting will be Friday, June 19th. Not today. Today's the 9th. Friday, June 19th. And what time?
Play that 5 p.m.
Can we do 5:30 since we're probably still going to be remotely and I want to make sure that I'm not stuck in traffic. It was hard for me to get to our last 5 o'clock meeting on time. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah. Okay. And just to clarify, you know, I chose to do remote as well this evening because I want to make sure to protect our staff. Mm-hmm. They're on the ground. They're the ones that are doing all this work. And I would hate for something to happen and they catch this and not be able to do their job. And as well, the fact they're around the poll workers. So that is my reason for abstaining from coming to the location. It's to protect our staff. So.
And I believe our county judge still is not allowing folks in the building, in county building, correct, this, yeah, time. So there's that as well.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say that I do appreciate you all, because if you recall how quickly the flu ran through our office this winter, we would hate to have a reoccurrence with something that's, you know, far more serious.
We don't want that to happen.
Commissioner Starr.
Yes, ma'am.
Jody wanted me to tell you thank you from him for thinking of the staff. And thank you from me as well.
You're welcome. And I apologize if I can't receive email. I'm working on, I have 3 different Office 365 accounts. And for some reason, if I get on any other ones, they will jump me off right now, the one I have to be on. So I apologize if I can't respond to emails in that.
Brian,
no problem.
Is there budget? I remember our telephone budget was pretty high because there was some issues with the our bill had jumped. Did that ever get resolved?
I believe the county Hutch said that they were going to pick up the cost. The county was going to pick up the cost for that.
Okay, so we have allotted already in our budget telephonic funding. Could we just get a phone for the commissioners, or at minimum Commissioner McKinnon Starr, so she, not that she wants to have another cell phone in her life, but
I don't want another cell phone. I'm happy to use my Gmail. If I could just be emailed at both places for now until I'm done telecommuting or telework, that's the issue that's causing. Okay. I can't operate both in the same place.
Gotcha.
So, on my home computer.
Okay. All right, good. I just want to make sure our commissioners were taken care of. And I just had that thought. If there happens to be extra money, we could take care of things. All right. Well, if there's nothing further, we are adjourned and we will meet again 5:30 Friday, June 19th.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you so much, everyone.
All right.
Thanks, bye, everyone. Stay safe and have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.